Well, turn with me, would you please, to Psalm 142. Let's see if you can find that right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 142. And just seven verses, so we ought to get out of here soon. Shouldn't take too long. Psalm 142. Let me read the first three verses and see if we can find something God has for us here tonight. I believe every word of the Bible is from God. And every word is for us. And so you can't miss it if you stay in the Word of God. Unfortunately, many Christians don't read the Bible. Many Christians. You say, why do you say that? Well, they tell me. Over the years, it seems like every Christian would read the Bible. It would seem like it. I mean, we have a precious gift, and it seems like we wouldn't want to miss it. But if you miss a day, you'll probably miss another day. And then you'll miss another day. And pretty soon you'll miss a week. And another week. And you can't live without the Word of God. You can't live close to God. And so let's see what we've got here. Now, this is David speaking. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. And when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us tonight. We thank you for the Word of God. We don't know all that's there, but Lord, you teach us what we do need to know. And Lord, by preaching the Word of God, you've used that. The Bible says the foolishness of preaching. It's foolishness to the world, but it's not foolish to you. It's your plan that the Word of God be given forth and that we would allow it to sink into our hearts and change our lives. No one's come here tonight by accident, and we all have problems. Life is full of problems. Some of the problems we know about and are struggling with. But Lord, you know about that. But some of the problems we don't know about. We've covered them up. We've pushed them back. I pray you'd reveal them to us tonight. That we might be able to live close to you. See your hand at work in our lives. And be a help in your plan of getting the gospel around the world. So Lord, bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have David. He's it says there in my Bible, it has a little note there, says he might have been in a cave. Maybe Saul was chasing him, and he's there in the cave running for his life, not knowing what tomorrow would bring, but what he might have to face death in just a short period of time. He didn't know. And so he is in trouble. The trouble he has is the trouble of the unknown. He doesn't know what's going to take place. Isn't that the way all trouble is? If we knew the answer, it wouldn't be trouble. I tell people, I used to teach math a long time ago. And at the end of every chapter in the math book, you have a whole page of problems. They say, math problems. Well, and they're a problem to most everybody, I guess. Say, I can't get the problems. But, they're only problems because you don't know the answer. If you knew the answer, it wouldn't be problems. And when you get the answer, they're no longer a problem. And that's the way the problems of life are. Yesterday's problems, when you've found the answer, is no longer a problem. It's past history. And you say, I can't even remember what the problem was. But today's problems are problems we don't know the answer to. And David here is struggling with a problem. And he is either king or he's going to be king. And he is has all of that at his disposal. He has a big following of men. And he has a great heritage. He has the promise of God that he will be king. And so does he need to worry? Well, he doesn't need to, just like we don't need to worry. And so he's looking for the answer. It says in verse 4, it says, I looked on my right hand, and beheld, but there was no man that would know me." Now, he was known by everybody. Everybody knew David. And he says, "Nobody wants to be with me. No, I've got a problem and nobody wants to be around me. And nobody wants to help me. I can't be helped." And so he said, "Refuge failed me. There's no place to hide. I can't, I might be in a cave, but still I can't hide from this threat that's upon my life. It's a threat." And he said, "It's failed me. No man cared for my soul." And so he's looking for someone to say, "I understand your problem. I think maybe I can help you with your problem." And he's looking in the wrong place. He says there, "No man cared for my soul." Kind of like the prodigal son. You know, he was the hero when he had money. And he was everybody's friend. Everybody wanted to be around him. They just they searched him out. He was the life of the party. But when he ran out of money, they weren't to be found. Problems kind of scare people away. And the matter of problems in the life. But caring for the souls of men is not the work of the world. All the world can help us with some health benefits. They think they can. I'm not sure that works these days. They try to comfort us by telling they're going to take care of us. They try to have education. They try to teach us things. And most of the time, their education is faulty. The kids graduate from school illiterate. When I moved here, 2003, I think it was, one Saturday morning, I was watching, just turned the television on, and there was some kind of education program on there. I don't know exactly what it was, but this lady from the State Department of Education was talking. And she said that 75%, that's what he said, 75% of the graduates in the Hartford schools were illiterate. I asked Pastor about that. I said, "Could that be? I mean, it was on television. And this lady had credentials." And so I said, "Could that possibly be?" And he said to me, "Go drive around Hartford during the week. They're all on the street." I don't know if that's true today, but that's what she said. The educational system in America, public schools have failed. They're instead of teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, which is what people need, if that's all they taught, it'd be a good thing. But they want to teach everything else. Everything else. And put that aside. Now, that's sad. That's a sad fact. We have to be careful, even in our Christian schools, not to get off the track. When we started Christian schools in the late 60s, early 70s, we started 3 a day in America. 1,000 a year for several years. Several years. 1,000 schools were started every year for several years. Men went to jail. I knew men that went to jail because they had their kids in a Christian school. They said, "Your kids are truant because that's not a school. So your kids aren't in school." And they went to jail. Brother Matt, there's some in Kansas went to jail because I knew who they were. And later, I had one of those students became a teacher, and she was teaching for me. But her father went to jail because she went to a Christian school. Well, today, you can start a Christian school anywhere you want to, but we had to win the battle. And the reason we started all those Christian schools was because they took the Bible out of the school. In the 60s, they said you can't read the Bible in school. Took God out of the school. That's a sad fact. Today we have Christian schools, and not everybody knows that. Why we have Christian schools, or why we can have Christian schools, And there are Christian people who put their kids in public schools when they have a Christian school where they put their kids. Amen? You with me? That's true. Some folks graduate from Christian schools and don't have their kids in Christian schools. That's kind of an amazing thing to me. But that's what we see today, because they don't know why we have Christian schools. And so the state tries to educate people. And you know all the problems today. They're even worse today than ever have been in the whole time. If anybody sends their kids to public school, don't know what's going on. It's not even, you can't hardly speak about what's going on. Is that right? You can't hardly speak about it. The moral goodness, they try to talk about character training. And character training, the only place you have the character, real character, is in the Bible. So if you're not going to teach the Bible, you can't teach character. Can't do it. Because it's biblical. Anything right and good is from God. And protection, crime rate. You don't know when you're going to get shot these days. You know, we live life, we just keep on living, but people are getting shot all the time. Somebody just got shot. I just saw the news. I haven't seen much news this week, but I finally found some. And 95, I-95, they shot on driving down the road. Just, was that today or yesterday? Have you heard about it? Maybe. I'm telling you the news. I don't know. Somebody is killed and a couple others shot. Somebody driving down the road, they just shot into a car. Right here. That could be anybody.
Right.
Where does that come from? Well, the world can't care for your soul.
Right.
Can't do it. The Reformation, social projects. The Bible says in Psalm 60, verse 11, says, "Give us help from trouble." Asking God, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." So here David's saying, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul." If you're looking to the world to help you, you're looking in the wrong place. The world can't help you. I think a pastor says often, you know, when the government comes to your door and says, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." You know, that's kind of an oxymoron. You know, that's probably not true. So if you're looking for help, don't look to this world. Money doesn't help us. Money's important and money's required. But if you're trusting your bank account, It's going to dwindle pretty fast these days. It's going downhill. It's not going uphill. It's going downhill.
Right.
And if you trust in that, you may be disappointed. You see, so he's saying, no man cared for my soul. You know, the church is concerned about spiritual needs. The church, in verse 5, it says, "I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge." So he says there in verse 4, refuge failed me. I have no place to hide. But he said, he found out, see, he changed his direction here. He said, "I cried unto the Lord." And he said, "Thou art my refuge." It's God who comforts our heart.
Right.
Only God. And we need to learn to turn to Him constantly. "I cried unto the Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion and in the land of the living." Life in God. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing better than to know you're right in the center of the will of God. I'm afraid many Christians maybe don't know that. Are you where God wants you to be? Are you right where God wants you to be? Well, I hope you are, but you ought to know that. Do you ever consider it? Is this where God wants me to be? This particular house, this particular town, this particular job, this particular situation, is all of that exactly where God wants us to be? You think God has a plan? Does He have that kind of a plan? Does He? Well, He does. And, you know, the steps of a good man are ordered. by the Lord.
Amen.
He put in His order. I mean, he put in His order, said, this is the order. This is the way it ought to be. And do you think every step is ordered?
Amen.
Well, that's what it says. So if you're stepping with the Lord, then the next step, you need to find out which step that is.
Right.
And if you take the wrong step, you're out of the will of God. You've got to take the right step and keep on going. If you get off the path, then you need to get back on the path.
Right.
Amen? Or you're out of the will of God. Are you living in the will of God or out of the will of God? Well, David here is trying to figure it out. He's trying to figure out what's going on here. The church is concerned with spiritual needs. The responsibility of the church is the spiritual needs of the people in the church. And then through them, out into the community, spiritual needs of people who will listen. Salvation, relationship with God. Turn with me to Acts 26. We'll look at a couple of verses here. Acts chapter 26. And is this Bible study night? Study the Bible. Acts chapter 26, verse 28. Maybe go back a little bit. This is Paul before King Agrippa. And you remember this story? He said in verse 26, For the king knoweth these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. He's talking about that Christ, in verse 23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light of the people and to the Gentiles. So he said, this thing's not hidden. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What was Paul's responsibility there? Well, he was really speaking for his life, because they could chop his head off any time. But his responsibility was to give the gospel out. That was his responsibility. It wasn't to protect and to defend himself. And he didn't defend himself. He just said, look, this is what Jesus did for you. And King Agrippa was under conviction. And he said, almost thou persuadest me. Which means Paul was persuading him and working in that behalf. That's the work of the church. The world can't do that. Yeah. David started out looking at the people. He said, no man cared for my soul. I'm looking out there. Where is everybody at? But it's not the people going to help you. Only the Lord helps us.
Right.
We can only get help from the Lord and through the church. And so salvation comes as somebody speaks to you. If you're saved tonight, this is Wednesday night service, most people be saved. Could be some here unsaved. If you're unsaved, you ought to get saved tonight. And why you'd come to church and not get saved? Might as well get saved while you're here. Amen. And but if you're saved tonight, somebody told you. Did they? Somebody told you. You might have been a preacher. You might have listened, preacher, got the gospel. Might have been your mother. Might have been somebody you worked with, your neighbor. Somebody gave you the gospel. Amen. It wasn't the world that gave you the gospel. If David was looking out there and said, no man cared for myself. No, they don't care. But somebody cared.
Amen.
You might know who that is. Somebody told them. Somebody told them. You might not know who that is. You might know, but you might not know who that was. I don't know if we get to heaven. Maybe we'll see a chain reaction, a chain event way back where the gospel is given and the gospel is given and the gospel is given and the gospel is given all the way up through. Brother Brown's teaching up there this morning, and that kind of the polity of the church and those things. And you read those things way back there, how they took a stand for God and had to stand on the doctrines and all those different things. Somebody took a stand. That's why we're here today. You know, the gospel's got to us all the way through. That's the responsibility of the church, not the world. Don't expect the world to support the church. The world doesn't support the church. They're not going to support you. They might act like, you know, there are times when it sounds like everybody's a Christian. All the radio announcers, they're praying and talking about being saved and all kinds of things. Most of them aren't saved anyway. You know, they have the lingo and do some things. They don't know about personal salvation. And you're not going to get the gospel from the news, although there is the gospel there. But you get it from the church. That's why we have church. Amen? Church is pretty important, don't you think? Yeah. That's why we have church. I'm for the church. And, you don't have to go to church to get saved, but saved people go to church. Amen? And so, salvation, concerned with spiritual needs. Sanctification, or living for God, or Christ-likeness. We used to hear a lot about being Christ-like. We ought to be growing to be more like Jesus. Now, we're never going to make it while we're here, while you're still breathing. We're still imperfect people. We are not perfect. There's not a perfect person alive. But we ought to be closer to be like Jesus every day. Do you think?
Amen.
That's what it's all about. That's why you came to church tonight. Amen? It didn't make you more saved. If you're saved when you walked in the door, you didn't get more saved because you're here. You can only get just saved. That's it. Amen? That's all you can do. You can't get more saved, but you can be more like Jesus.
Amen.
And that's why we come to church. I hope that's why you come to church. You ought to come saying, you know, we come to church to see what God is going to tell us tonight. Now, I'm not God. Your preacher's not God. But we get a message from God, and God speaks to us through the message. Amen? Is that why you came?
Yeah.
You don't get any credit for coming to church. No place to check that mark. You don't get any credit. You get credit for being closer to Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? And coming to church is a good way to do that. But going to church, it doesn't make God happy because we come to church. It makes God happy when we obey Him. Amen? Do what He says and follow Him. And so sanctification, that's becoming more like Jesus all the time. Sometimes we go backwards and we get away from Him. Then we ought to get closer to Him. And that's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. That we, if we confess our sin, who's He talking to? Talking to Christians. That means Christians must have some sin if we have to confess it. And then He says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's what that's all about. And then, so if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Suffering in this world is what Christians have to go through. The Christian life, you read history. Christians have never had an easy go. We like to have all the fun of the world and all these things, and that's for the world. The joy of the Lord is knowing Him.
Right.
Paul said that I may know Him. What do you want to know? He wanted to know the power of the resurrection and the what? The fellowship of suffering. Being made conformable. What we're supposed to be conformed to? Unto His death. Not His life, but His death. Isn't that interesting? And that's what Christian life is. And when we struggle in the Christian life, we're probably right where God wants us to be. You think?
Amen.
That's probably where we ought to be.
Amen.
When we're having the fun of the world, we're not where God wants us to be. You with me?
Amen.
Amen. And so the church is concerned with spiritual needs. Salvation, sanctification, service. Serving others is the giving them the opportunity to have what you have. That's what serving God is. Giving others the opportunity to have what you have. Somebody was serving when you got saved. Yeah. I remember our church, when Sharon and I started dating, the only place I could take her was to church. Her church. Not my church. Her church. I didn't care. I just wanted to go with her. Amen. And J. Howard Jones, Calvary Baptist Church, Bucyrus, Ohio. And it was a church. They hadn't built the church yet. All they built was a basement. And they covered it with tar paper. Had the floor on there. Covered it with tar paper. And had this door stairways go down in. And had church. It's now a church. They built the church. Stone church. It's a nice church. And for years, it's been a church. That was 60 years ago or more. And went there. I'd never heard anything like it. I'd been in church almost every Sunday of my life. But this was different. I went to church. I didn't learn anything at all in that church. They didn't preach the gospel. But J. Howard Jones, he followed me around all week. I know he did. I know he did. Every sermon had something in it he's saying I couldn't do. I'm telling you the truth. I said, he has to run out sometime. You know, there has to be an end to this somewhere. But he said, you know, every time is something, you know, I didn't know there was so many things you couldn't do. You know, I didn't think I was so bad. I don't know. But everything had all these things that I couldn't do. And, you know, but he was a preacher of the Word of God. He's a great Bible teacher, doctrine teacher. He went right down the list. It was pretty exciting. And so he's serving the Lord. Somebody's serving the Lord when you got saved. Well, why don't you serve the Lord and get somebody saved? Amen. That's what it's all about. Don't retire. Don't retire from the Christian life. Don't do it. You can give out a tract. You can give out a you can give make a phone call. You can pray for people. You can do a lot of different things. But don't retire from the Christian life. You look at me. You know I'm pretty old. I'm over the hill, I think, but I'm not. I don't look in the mirror much. I'm afraid to. Amen. I did look in the mirror and I said, "It must be a broken mirror. It doesn't work." You ever have a mirror that didn't work? I mean, it just. I had to take it back to the store. I mean, it just didn't work. You know. But you know, you can always keep on doing things. Now I'm a little slower than I used to be. I get tired, wear out, you know, I try to study the Bible and I wake up with my face in a book. You know, say, what happened there? I don't know if you can learn that way or not. I mean, maybe you can. Maybe it seeps in there. I don't know. But serving God, giving your life for others. This is what it says in Acts chapter 11. It says, when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. This is Barnabas going to get Paul. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christian first at Antioch. And so the Apostle Paul gave his life to serve the Lord. Well, you say, well, that's the Apostle Paul. He was just a man. God used him in a great way, but that's because he is willing to be used. There's a few people around this town need the gospel. You see? And we need to get the gospel out. So, caring for souls is not the work of the world. It's the work of the church. Amen? And that is the work of the church. Don't get away from it. A lot of other things, a lot of issues. It's good to talk about the issues and things. But I know guys that are good preachers and they got off on an issue. Good issue. It's the right issue. He's on the right side. But he forgot about the main thing of the church. And I told Brother Casey's group on Sunday that they had the 133rd anniversary, not his 10th anniversary, but the 133rd anniversary of the church. It's an old Baptist church. And I said, you know, it's still here. It's amazing. 133 years, and they're still preaching the gospel in that church. Yeah. It tried to die a couple times. But if it's going to be there another 133 years, If they get off on an issue, it'll die. If they forget to win souls, it'll die. If they don't have any more new births, it'll die. It'll die. Brother Townsend and I have watched churches die. Big churches. Die. Not even on the map anymore. Dr. Robertson baptized 63,000 people in 42 years. 63,000 people in 42 years, from 1942 to 1984. The church doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist. It's off the map. Scary, isn't it? What happened? Well, the deacons thought they had a better idea. Said, when he retired, they said, we have a better idea. There isn't a better idea. There's only one idea, and that's God's idea. You know? And this is a great church, and, you know, 50 years, that's a great heritage. But, you know, this church is any different than any other one. If you get comfortable, expect the world to like the church, not going to happen. Not going to happen. It doesn't matter. You know, this it takes just God only has one plan, and He keeps going. Well, let's see. I got to read this clock up here. When did we start? 7? That was point number 1. All right. So I'll be faster. Okay. Caring for souls is the proper work of the church. See, in verse 5, he says, "I cried unto the Lord, and said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." See, men are perishing every day. They're perishing every day. And people are without God and without hope in this world. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 2. One of the first verses I memorized was in Ephesians chapter 2. And I can't find Ephesians. I know it's here someplace. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 8 it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, and being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." There's no hope without Christ. What this community needs and what you've been doing over these 50 years is hailing the message that Jesus is the answer. Only Jesus. Not Jesus and something else. Only Jesus. And that's what we have to stay to. Just stay right there all the time and don't get away from it. You can stay in a cave like David was and wait for someone to help you. Or you can praise the Lord for His goodness and get out there and get something done. That's what he says in verse number 6. He makes that clear, that we need to praise, come to a place where we can praise God even in our difficult situation. Everybody has difficult situations. It was 13 years ago last May when some of the high school kids stood up and started sharing their problems one with another. It was May 14th, 2009. And for 2.5 hours, they shared problems one with another. I didn't do anything. I just sat down and watched. Shared problems one with another. I didn't know they had so many problems. You wouldn't have never known it. I didn't know it. I wouldn't have known it. Devin was there during that time. And others were there. And it has impressed me all these years. People have problems. Sitting right here in this church, people have problems. Just like David, he's king, you know. He's in charge. He has all these different things going on. And he's crying out to God like, you know, he doesn't know what to do. If he had problems, maybe we have problems. Most of the time we cover up our problems. We hide our problems. We don't admit our problems. We're holding back on our problems. Can't solve a problem if you don't know what it is. Our altars should be full. If we're calling on God, or are we trying to solve our own problems? David's looking around at men. He's saying, no man cared for my soul. And he's having a pity party. He's saying, you know, why don't somebody help me? Well, there's a God in heaven ready to help you. And he can help you. The people can't help you. And so caring for souls is the proper work of the church. You've got to keep the main thing, always that, always that. Don't get sidetracked. In your own personal life, make sure that's the direction of your life, the passion you have. So caring for souls is a proper work for every Christian. Every Christian. Verse 7, the last verse says, but my soul, he said, bring my soul out of prison. So David felt like he was in prison. Well, we are in prison if we aren't yielded to the Lord. He said, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. He's come to a realization there in just a few verses that he shouldn't be looking at the world. God will deal bountifully with him. You like that word? Bountifully. I mean, God has no end to his resources. He never runs out. He doesn't have a supply problem. Amen. He's got the resources that never fail. He'll deal bountifully with us, but we have to ask him. We have to turn to him, not to the world. You know, we need to care for our soul because he will take care of us. But we need to care for the souls of other people. You know, it's a command, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a passion we have. It says that we weep over those who are lost. It's Christ-like. Jesus looked at the multitudes and he wept over them. And the souls, we need to surrender to the will of God. But there's a great reward for serving God. What is the reward? Well, we get to heaven, he'll say, well done. But there's rewards here. It's a blessing. I was especially blessed just being with Brother Casey and Brother Qualls up there, seeing them going on for the Lord. I mean, that's a kind of a thrill to my heart. I said, man, this is great. This is worth coming up here to Massachusetts, New England, and to see what's happening. And, you kind of invest. You kind of say, well, put a little investment here, and God multiplies it.
Amen.
And it's an exciting thing. And it says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, for what is our hope? Or joy or crown of rejoicing. So that's a question. What is your hope? What is your joy? What is the crown of rejoicing? I mean, what do you rejoice in? Is there anything? Are not even ye... Now here's Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. He said, are not even ye in the presence of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ as he's coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Years ago, when I was working in engineering before I went to Bible college, somehow they were starting a new insurance company, Golden United. And I said, you want to be a salesman for Golden United Insurance Company, brand new insurance company. And so I went to, some of the guys were going to these meetings and they told me I ought to come. So I went and, they had these, it was a pitch, you know, they had it going. And, telling you how to do it. And they'd say, you know, if you get you sell for $300, you sell this stock in the insurance company. And then once they get the insurance company going, then you can go back to those people and sell them the insurance. So you have to invest in them, and you're really building your own clientele. Well, that's the way sales is, I guess. I don't know anything about it. I'm not a salesman. I didn't do much. I tried it a little bit. It really didn't fit my personality. I taken money from people. I didn't know what was happening. Actually, they became a company. They bought H&R Block. That company actually bought out H&R Block later on. And they sent me a big check, even though I only invested $300. And so it was a good thing, I guess. I don't know. But that was the idea. You invest, you get people to buy these things, and you're building a clientele. Well, you know, Christian life's like that. You know, get some people saved, and it brings back benefits. Amen? I mean, you come along and you find them there. When we yielded to the Lord up on Scroon Lake, Word of Life, years ago, in 1970, the guys there speaking from Bob Jones University, Dr. Walter Fremont and several of those guys, and I heard them talking. I just kind of stand around and heard them talking, and they was talking about clipping coupons. They said, you clip some coupons. What they're talking about is you run into somebody you had an influence in their life, and it encourages you along the way. Well, you don't have that unless you invest something in other people's lives.
Huh?
And that's the whole key. And that's how a church works. You know, you get saved, and then you get the gospel to somebody else. They get the gospel to somebody else, and it just branches out. Pretty soon you got church like this. Amen? But we have to not quit. Don't be a cog in the wheel. Don't be a problem along the way. Keep it going and giving out the gospel along the way. Well, David said, no man cared for my soul, but God cares for us.
Amen.
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you're not saved. Came here tonight, you're not saved. Maybe you've come a lot of times and you're not saved. Well, tonight's the night to get saved.
Amen.
And maybe you've gotten a little slack in sharing the gospel, keeping it going. Maybe you're discouraged tonight. You say, you know, it's a tough life. And the devil's after me. David was discouraged. But he found a refuge in the Lord. Why don't you come tonight and just lay it on the altar tonight. Get back with the Lord. Let him work in your life. Shall we pray? Father, thank you that you love us.